May only His word be spoken, only His word heard. Amen. Touchstones, why we are different, from Romans chapter 6. This past week, I read an article online from an English newspaper called The Telegraph. And the title of the article was "The Silencing of Christians in the Public Sector," especially talking about governmental jobs, but not just that. The gist of it was that the majority of English Christians would never publicly speak of their faith or their religion or even reveal that they are Christians. It was said that they had a fear of being considered biased. The article put it this way. I thought this was an interesting phrase. It is not the done thing to speak of religion. It is not the done thing. And I thought as I read this article, who's really to blame for this silencing of Christians, squeezing Christians out of public life, the secularizing of all of society? Who's really at fault for that? Isn't it the Christians themselves? I hope I'm not being too harsh, but isn't it because they're so weak, embarrassed, sheepish, and spineless? What do you think Jesus would say? I kind of think I know what He would say. If you're ashamed of Me in this generation, I'll be ashamed of you when you stand before the Father. Haven't they forgotten who they are and what they have been called to do and be? They were baptized into Christ. Baptism is that one indispensable, sacred act for every Christian. As one young person put it, "I want to be baptized because it means I belong to God." Baptism, according to the Word of God, unites us with Christ, initiates us into His family, gives us our identification, is a sign and seal of who we are, and it is commanded that all who would call themselves Christians be baptized. It's not a suggestion. Being baptized, or remembering that you were baptized and affirming what it means, changes the way you view all of life. Now, I was baptized as an infant. I don't remember, like a lot of you, I don't remember my baptism. But it has colored my entire life. It has identified me as a Christian. And I came to a point in my life where I affirmed my baptism a long time ago, and I wanted to live in it. Pastors Eddie Fox and George Morris once visited Bau Island, a small subset of the Fiji Islands. While there, the chief of Bau took him to this tiny church, and in that tiny church was this very large stone with a small cleft in the top of it. According to this chief, this stone had a significant place in the ancient history of the people of the island. In ancient times, this stone was used to crush the heads of their enemies. And into that cleft, that indentation, would flow the blood. It was a ritual for them. But once the message of Jesus came to this island, Bau Island, this rock was employed in a new way. It became a baptismal font. And the cleft that was once filled with the blood of these captives was now filled with water in which the islanders would bring their children to be baptized. The people of Bau Island wisely concluded that if they were baptized into Christ, their lives needed to reflect that. And so it was that all their past habits and customs were transformed. And I am saddened that so many take their baptism or the baptism of their children for granted. It is little recognized for what it means or what it's supposed to mean. It has become for so many just a simple ritual, a tradition. Even for those non-believing parents, they will bring their children to be baptized because we now live in a quasi-Christian society. But you know, it's not that way in other parts of the world. To be baptized in other parts of the world takes extreme courage. It would be literally writing your death sentence to be baptized in certain countries. Can you tell me some of those? How about Pakistan? How about North Korea? How about Saudi Arabia? How about Iran? And there's a few others, or at least parts of certain countries that are divided religiously. Think of the courage it takes for a person to be baptized or have their children baptized in those countries. Baptism for those people, and it should for us, signifies a new way of life. If your faith in Jesus has not either influenced or changed the way you look at everything in this world, you probably don't have faith. Because if faith is just sort of an ethereal thing that doesn't make any difference in your life, it probably doesn't exist in you. Our scripture said we are no longer slaves to sin. The fact is we're enemies of sin. We want to eradicate it in our life. We want to live for God. As baptized Christians, I think we need to ask ourselves, am I being all that Christ created me to be? All that God created me to be? I know I am blessed. I am blessed with Jesus Christ's death on the cross for me, my salvation, and all of that. But am I living, and this is for every age, am I living a life of significance? You know, baptism really is like a daily garment. We should wear it, put it on every day. If we lay it aside, we should pick it up again. It identifies who we are. That garment has on it, child of God, Christian, courageous one. As our Lutheran confessions rightly say, a Christian life is nothing else than a daily baptism, once begun and ever continued. Baptism not only announces and challenges us to live as different people in this world, it also produces, it also begins and promotes a new life, because with baptism comes the Holy Spirit into our lives. Practically speaking, that means we are to be maturing, becoming more gentle, more patient, more loving, more compassionate, more forgiving, and more free from greed and hatred and envy and lust, laziness and pride. Think back 5 years ago. Have you become more loving, more patient? Think back 10 years ago. Are you maturing? This is the trajectory of what baptism was made for. I know for myself, I believe I'm more patient. That's one I've really had to struggle with. And I thought about this message I'm going to preach today as I was driving on Bob Gray Road, and there was a person in front of me just yesterday who was halving the speed limit. You know what I mean by that? Instead of 40 miles an hour, they were going 20 miles an hour. At the beginning, I was praying that they would turn off soon. But then it struck me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit coming into me, Richard, remember who you are. You don't know what's going on in that car. Believe me, it was a struggle for the first mile because I was thinking, what is wrong with these people? Don't they know I'm important and I have a place to go? So you see, on many tracks I was being taught, as I frequently have, patience, humility. You're not more important than those people. Who knows who they are? Right? The unbaptized will see the free reign of the old man or the old woman, which grows stronger and stronger and stronger. I want to quote Martin Luther's Large Catechism, which is a fabulous Christian document, because it's put so bluntly. Luther, who wrote it, wrote this: those who are outside of Christ can only grow worse day by day. It is, as the proverb says very truly, evil unchecked becomes worse and worse. If a year ago a man was proud and greedy, this year he's even much more so. Vice thus grows, increases in him from his youth up. When he reaches full manhood, the real vices become more and more potent day by day. And you say, I don't know if that's true. But what you see in people is only the facade, the veneer. I think this is definitely true. Hardened, more and more self-righteous, more and more about those things that we should be free of: greed, hatred, envy, lust, laziness, pride. On the other hand, we who are baptized, we have been claimed by Jesus Christ, claimed by God. In his life, death, and resurrection, we have been marked and sealed as children of God, baptized. And this claiming by God is a relentless one. He relentlessly claims you. God says, you belong to me. And he sends his Holy Spirit in your life to claim you and to change you day by day. Clinging to your baptism is also a powerful weapon against the attacks of Satan. There's that famous story of Martin Luther, who, when in hours of doubts and despair and satanic attack, he would yell out, Baptizitus zum, Baptizitus zum. I am baptized. I am baptized. I urge you to use this same device, because I guarantee you there'll come a day when the devil has you in his sights and he will mark you for temptation or doubt or terror. And I would say to you, why not do what Martin Luther did? Say it out loud. Scream it out loud. I am baptized. I am baptized. I am a child of God. I belong to him because of Jesus. And I will have courage. Courage. So, how is baptism making you different? I want to share a true story from Fred Craddock, one of the great preachers of just a few years back. And he tells this story. He tells the story of the patron saint of a group that met in a cafe, not a church, cafe. And the man was named Frank. Frank was 77 years old when Fred first met him. He was a good, strong man, a pioneer, a rancher, a farmer, a prospering cattleman too. All the other men in the cafe considered him the patron saint of the cafe. And they would all say this: ha, old Frank will never go to church. Fred met Frank on the street one time, and he says, Frank knew that I was a preacher, but it was never my custom to accost people in the name of Jesus. So I was just shaking hands and visiting with him. But he took the offensive. Now, mind you, he was not offensive, but he took the offensive. He said this, I work hard, I take care of my family, I mind my own business. Far as I'm concerned, everything else is fluff. You see what he told me, Fred Craddock asked? He was telling me, leave me alone. I'm not a prospect. Fred says, I didn't bother Frank. That's why I and the entire church and the whole town were surprised, and the men at the cafe were absolutely bum-fuzzled, I like that word, bum-fuzzled, when old Frank showed up at the church seeking to be baptized. I baptized Frank. Some of the talk in the community was, Frank must be sick. Guess he's scared to meet his maker. They say he's got a heart problem. Going up there and being baptized, I never thought old Frank would do that. I guess when you get scared, and the stories went on like that, all over town. But this is the way Frank explained it to his pastor, to Fred. They were talking the next day after his baptism, and Fred, pastor, said, Frank, you remember that little saying you used to say so much? I work hard, I take care of my family, and mind my own business. Frank said, yeah, I remember that. I used to say that a lot. Fred asked, you still say that? Frank said, well, yeah, I do. Fred asks, then what's the difference? And Frank unhesitatingly responded, I didn't know then what my business was. And so Fred baptized Frank. He raised his hand and said, in the presence of those who gather upon your confession of faith in Jesus Christ and obedience to command, I baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. What had changed? Frank knew what his primary business was. And what was his primary business? To be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Frank's business was to be a part of a worship community who gathered together to serve God and their fellow man. And that's our business too, is it not? Are we going to live a life of significance? If we are, we're going to have to know what our business is. We are baptized Christians. We can't be silent. We can't be squeezed out because our culture is going a different way. No, that's not who we are. We're children of God. And we must speak. And we must be who we are. It's our business. And if you're not baptized,